Voices of Defiance podcast number 38, recorded in front of a live internet audience on Sunday, July 19th, 2015.
I'm Chris Farrell from Walking the Walking Dead, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual, but you can check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Now get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
Quick, swallow the red pill! The red pill! The red pill! Hello, I'm your host of Voices of Defiance, Stargate Pioneer, and with me is the woman of many tweets. Her name is Shannon.
Hello, guys.
Oh, you're not even kidding about that.
I gotta keep busy.
And also with us is the birthday boy. Hello, Mr. 40 Sean.
We don't need to go there.
We don't need to go there.
Hey, today we'll be talking about Season 3, Episode 7, The Beauty of Our Weapons. Just a reminder, you can catch us at GunnaGeek.com. Just go to the podcast page, find Voices of Defiance, and then the contact page is right there. You can find all the great ways to reach us, including our voicemail line, 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751. Today, we do have a special treat for you. So if you're listening live, you can pump on your questions. We have the venerable, the Mr. Radio in Defiance himself, Jesse Rath, with us. How's it going, sir?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on, and this season is pretty good. Your character has definitely developed really well this season. I'm really liking it.
Yeah, it's a great season for my character, for sure. I think for everyone, too. This season, I think, is leagues ahead of our previous seasons, in my humble opinion.
No, you're right. You're right.
Definitely gone that way. So have you been kept up with are you current with the episodes? You know where we are right now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're doing those live tweeting every week. So yeah, I watched it along with everyone else on Friday. Pretty great episode. What do you guys think? Like, in terms of the rest of this season, how would you stack this episode up against the other episodes?
Do you want to know, because it's very Alok heavy?
Well, I would say it's not. Like, I thought maybe the last two episodes were more of Alok, but, you know, I loved this last episode.
There sure is a lot of licking going on this season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of licking. And that's not in the script. That's just us wanting to lick each other.
I was wondering how many takes that takes.
Yeah, did you guys notice in that scene when Nicole licks Jamie? They cut to, like, her reverse, and there's just, like, this, like, long saliva.
Yes. I thought it was my imagination. I'm like, well, maybe it's the wig she's wearing or something like that. I'm like, no, I backed that up 3 or 4 times. Nope, that's spit.
You know what? That's not the last licking scene of the season.
Yes!
There's for sure more licking to come.
You just made Sean's birthday. Thank you very much, Jesse.
Yeah, that was such a great episode. That was a new director we haven't had yet in the series. Her name is Marzi Almas, and she's just wonderful. She's such a dream to work with, and I actually was lucky enough to work with her before on Being Human, so I kind of knew her already going into this block. So it was really comfortable to shoot with her, and we felt kind of really safe in her hands. It was nice, like Tony, myself, Marzi, Kevin, and Michael all got a chance to sit down and talk about this episode before we shot it. Like that scene with Tony and I in the jail, we got to really kind of sit down and talk about that scene for hours. I find that always helps. So yeah, it was great. I really loved this last episode.
We loved it too.
It's pretty emotional watching your dad up on the shaming rack.
I know.
But at this point, you're really like, you know, yeah, he belongs there.
Yeah, I thought this episode was kind of like Daytac and Alok kind of getting over it. You know what I mean? Like, they were kind of coming to terms with their relationship and kind of resolving things in a sense, you know?
Well, I think your dad is finally seeing that now, out of all the other seasons that we've had with Alec, your character's evolved, where you're no longer that scared little boy that had your wife protecting him from the hellbugs, that you're not scared of your dad anymore.
I'm never going to live that down. Or,
no,
I was going to say, we have never given Alec any, I mean, we've given him no end of crap. Because he's.
I know. It's crazy how much people online seem to talk about my balls. Without, like, I don't even think people notice they're doing it. But, you know, I just see these tweets that are just like, wow, Alex's balls finally dropped, and wow, it turns out he's got balls after all. Like, balls.
Well, if they're not purple, they're not really counted on this
that's
podcast.
Good disclaimer.
I was going to say, that's going to be a quote for the show.
balls. You know, that whole hell, all right, let me just address this hell bug thing,
okay?
Just going
to clear the air.
Clear the air. Explain the balls, sir. Explain them.
This is a quote from the script, okay? Like, word for word, this is what it says in the script for that scene. It goes, Alec falls on his ass. Okay? That wasn't me going like, wow, I'm like, I need to... That was me following the script, okay? So, it said I fell on my ass, and that's what I did. So... I'm just doing my job, all right?
But then you just sat there. You didn't do anything. Just like, in horror. There was no reaction. You just watched your future wife do what she has to do and protect you.
Oh, you know what? She didn't really do anything. She picked up a torch. It's not like she killed herself. She did. They attacked
and
all the
heavy. Small tiki torch, you know.
Yeah, she's quick thinking, you know. I don't know. It's scary. Have you ever, like, not that I have ever seen a hell bug, but they had these like cardboard cutout hell bugs that they were kind of dancing around on the set. But, you know, I think I reacted, or Alec reacted, the same way any normal kid would have reacted. And I think that's the case with most of the things, the situations that Alec gets in. He reacts the way any regular person who's not trying to like save the town would react. He's right. And that was the beauty of his character. He's kind of like this, like just like a regular kid with these like larger than life parents and in this crazy world, you know, he's just trying to lead a regular life, but keeps kind of getting thrown into these horrible situations. Yeah.
Yeah. He is, and you mentioned he's in an entire town full of larger than life characters. And look what Alec does. He is the son of basically the crime lords of the city, and his biggest aspirations are to be a radio DJ and forward music. I mean, that is very rare. That is very rare. He's the artistic one in a family full of psychopaths. In fact, a town full of psychopaths.
Yeah, I think that's usually the case with any kid, though, growing up with like successful parents and whatever.
Your typical rebellious teen. I mean, you had the whole purple streak in your hair and Daytex. Exactly. Like, what the hell?
He's trying to, find his own identity. And
married a human girl.
Yeah, exactly. It was everything. Like the complete opposite of what his parents represent, I think, which I think is a very normal human thing to do.
And it's a plus that you're not as sneaky and devious as they are. That's always a good thing to take away from your parents.
Yeah, although I like to think that like he's coming around, like in this, not the last episode, but the one before with the whole Nolan and the faking like he was going to kill me kind of scene.
That was a great scene.
Like
great
that scene. That took some sort of, you know, some thinking on Alec's part, I like to think.
But see, I think that was a great episode for Alec in general because it brought you into your own. You turned against your parents.
Yeah.
You didn't follow along with them. They're like, Alec, shut up, quit talking now. So you're like, no, they blew up the arch. So, I mean, I think that was a turning point for your character.
I definitely think that in this last episode, I think Daytac and Alec are on, you know, not good terms, but they kind of like understand. Like here, I think Alec really respects the fact that Daytac is trying to kill himself on a shaming rack. I think, like, it's what Alec says at the end, you know, he's talking to Luke and he says, it's such a weird way to introduce this kid to his grandfather because this is your grandfather, Daytac.
About to die slowly.
Yeah. One day I'll help you understand how he was a deeply flawed man, but he was not without honor. And I love that line. And for another reason, I think it's kind of perfect. You know, like, I always like to think that my character is kind of like a, I try to compare it to Star Wars in any way I can. And, you know, I got my hand burnt and he's like...
He's a Skywalker.
I got like this like lightsaber type thing. My son's name is Luke.
And come on, people.
I don't go all the way by saying, Luke, I am your father. I say, Luke, this is your grandfather.
But you really wanted to.
The white Darth Vader of this town.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Luke, have you held a baby before this season?
Nope.
I wondered about that.
Why? Did it look like I didn't know how to hold a baby?
For a couple episodes, it was like, God, I hope I don't drop this thing.
Well, I thought that worked perfectly because my character, like, how would he know how to hold a baby? You know, like, he doesn't know, really.
Exactly. He's
like,
what is he, 20? He has no idea.
Exactly. So I thought that kind of worked out well. And then by the end of the season, in the show and in real life, I got more comfortable with the kid. But, you know, I was throwing him around and
passing him over.
Yeah, passing him over and one-handing, holding him like a football. So, you know, I think it worked out well that in those first couple of episodes with me and Linda, like, I have no idea how to hold him or what to do. And yeah.
Dude, how was that working with Linda Hamilton?
Oh my God, it was great. It was amazing. Like, I was freaking out every second, but playing it off very cool. I had this whole master plan that she was gonna be in town while the new Terminator movie was premiering and that I was gonna go see the new Terminator but that never ended up happening. But
so, go to the movies, you want to come with?
I know, I'm like, we'll just put it like, we'll hide you and sneak you in. No, but it was great. I was like talking to her about the trailer of the Terminator movie with her. It just kind of came up and I was just like, oh my, hey, have you seen the new Terminator trailer? And she's like, yeah, I saw it. And it's like they're doing exactly our old movie. And I was like, well, here's the theory. And I like explained like, the theory of the new Terminator movie to Linda Hamilton. It was just like something I never thought I'd be doing.
And then you step back, you're like, I just talked about Terminator with Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
It's like explaining the new Star Wars trailer to George Lucas.
Yeah, exactly. You know, okay, here's a funny story that has nothing to do with anything. I met George Lucas when I was about 15.
So last month?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cold, man.
I was in an Urban Outfitters of all places. Wow. And I was like looking, probably bought like a Star Wars shirt. And I was walking to the exit and my dad was like waiting by the door. And I just see next to him is George Lucas sitting on a chair with like a bunch of shopping bags. Kind of like, I guess he had been shopping. He's waiting for someone doing some shopping. He's just waiting by the door with bags. He looked like he was over it. And I start walking over in that direction. And my dad kind of thinks I'm coming to him. And I just walk right past my dad and beeline it to George Lucas, who's standing right next to him. And my dad has no idea like who that is or anything. But yeah, it was...
You're like, dad, look who that is.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, but the fact that George Lucas is just standing there like in standard dad mode with like a bunch of bags going, God, I hope they hurry up.
You know? I know. It's so great. And like everyone's walking by, like no one realizes that George Lucas is sitting right there.
No one realizes the greatness that's upon them.
Yeah. And I was like, you're George Lucas. And he's like, you're Jesse Rav? And That didn't happen.
I'm like, say that did not happen.
But for the sake of this podcast, that's exactly
how it happened. That's what happened. Well, you probably reacted better than Sean would have. He'd probably be down on his knees praising him.
Oh, no. I'd have just been the passed out guy on the floor in front of him. Oh, what the hell's wrong with that guy?
Yeah, you know, just stepping over you.
Yeah, your just, Cindy Brinkley moment all over again.
You'd be fanboying.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I met Cindy Crawford one time at a book signing, and I literally forgot my name.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She was just, oh, that's great. Who do I make this out to? And I'm like,
it sounds awfully familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been lucky enough to meet Katie Sackhoff like multiple times now. And every time I do, I like choke on my own spit a little bit. I make like a fool of myself. Same thing with Trisha Helfer. I'm like friends with people who are friends with all those Battlestar people. So I like every now and again run into them and I'm like a huge BSG fan. And so I like always just put my foot in my mouth. Like the first time I met Trisha Helfer, I was walking down a convention. I was in San Diego. I was walking down the hall and I was with one of our Defiance producers at the time, Tom Lieber. And he kind of was like, oh, let me introduce you to Trisha. And at the time I was I had like a bag full of toys and I was wearing a like mustard yellow Captain Kirk bathrobe that was like 8 sizes too big for me. And I was just like wearing it around the hall because I was like, I need this. And he's like, let me introduce you to Trisha Helfer. And I'm like, before I could say no, no, I was shaking her hand and she was giving me a look like, oh, it's, you know, nice to meet you. And after that, I like took off the bathrobe and I was like, stupid bathrobe. And I've never worn it again.
Where the hell was my leather jacket when I needed it?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you could play any character in BSG, old or new, which character would it be?
Gaius Baltar, obvi.
Oh, there's a man of discerning taste right there.
Yeah. Oh, Gaius. Oh, I love that guy too. Like that actor too. What's his name? James something.
That's embarrassing. I can't remember. I had an entire Battlestar podcast a long time ago. And,
oh, James Callis. That's
there
it.
You go.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. I love it. I love that whole like character dynamic. Like he's like responsible for the betrayal of the human race, but. He's like, just love it. Love it.
And it was Trisha Helfer that he did it for, too.
Yep.
See, more people have made themselves look stupid in front of Trisha Helfer. I mean,
you're one of them.
I was going to say, I did it, too. I was drunk on a GWC cast. In fact, it was my birthday then, too. I was completely inebriated, and we were on mic and everything, and I'm like, Trisha Helfer, oh, God, way too skinny. You see the bones sticking out of the side of her face? She needs more. And I'm like, oh. And she heard it. She heard it.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
Oh, it was horrible. Oh, and I was.
Wait, it was on your birthday too?
Oh yeah, no, and I did it on a cast. And
so a year ago today?
No.
Like, oh, I don't know, 6 years ago, six, 9 years ago, something like that.
Well, then again, I guess every day was a year ago today.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a year ago today. So that's okay. Well, at least I'm not alone.
Don't feel bad.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, so with Alec being so on top of things now, he lives in his parents' house. He has basically lost most of his family. His town's going to war.
But he has handmaidens.
He does have a really hot handmaiden.
He's got a hot handmaiden. Here's how I see it. I'm a single widowed father.
Yes!
I'm rich and I'm pretty good looking.
This is not a bad place to be.
I'm a catch in Defiance right now. I'm a. Can I swear?
Yes.
I'm a catch.
That is exactly true. Now, we saw the other day that Alec met Kinsey for the first time and his jaw nearly dropped to the floor.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, how you doing, baby?
I know. I thought that was a little weird, to be honest.
Thank you.
I'm like, oh, isn't it a little soon for me to be doing that?
That's what I was saying last week.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always kind of read that in the script, like we knock on a door and she answers the door and it's like an Omek, and I've never seen an Omek before. It's like as though I saw a werewolf as a human, you know, like on the street in real life. So I always kind of read that like, I don't even know what the line was. What did I say? Like, wow or holy what did I say?
Like, wow.
I always thought that was like a wow, oh my God, like an Omek, you know? But then when we were shooting it, our director Felix kind of wanted me to play it like I wanted to have sex with her, you know? Like,
but then you smelled your mom.
Yeah, oh my God. That whole day of shooting, I was just like, I smell my mommy.
Hey, Suncast in the chat said, I'm not sure I would trust Andina.
Yeah, she likes bad people, huh? She likes bad guys.
Yeah, those are the fun ones.
Do you consider yourself a bad guy or a good guy?
I consider myself a good guy, but I've done bad things, but always like under duress, it would seem like, it's because I had to. But I would say I'm like maybe one of the morally responsible characters on the show.
Well, you want to be like Nolan.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants to be like Nolan, man. The dude messed up his daughter. He's I mean, he's a great warrior, but man, personal issues abound with that dude.
Well, the whole town has personal issues. The whole town does.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't have like very great father or mother figures on this show. Between like, you know, probably the best guy would be Rafe, and he beat the crap out of me. Or true. Nolan. Maybe Nolan is the best like father figure at this point. He killed my best friend. Like, so this is like the cards I've been dealt, you know? So
yeah, what happened to that whole gang? During the pilot and your bachelor party, you had a whole bunch of friends. They're all gone now. What happened to them?
Oh yeah, it's true, huh? You know what I think happened? Like when I maybe became Vizu, and then I kind of had the fall from grace. Maybe they were like, oh, this guy's not so cool anymore. Plus, I wasn't doing the DJ anymore. I had like outsourced it to like a human.
Who took a fall?
Who took a sweet pun. Yeah, so who knows? Yeah, not a lot of friends.
Oh. You know, a lot of the teens that were in the town are kind of dwindling away lately.
Are dead.
So you're it, I think.
Oh, here's a fun fact.
Other than Arissa.
Arissa, who's like a basket of crazy. Exactly. After the last episode. She was so great, wasn't she? I thought everyone was so great in last episode. I thought everyone was on point.
It was. It was a good episode. I really enjoyed it. It was one of my favorite this season.
Here's a fun fact about last episode. You know that the character Ranakar, we just met him last episode. He was Zero, also known as.
Yeah, the sharpshooter.
Yeah, the sharpshooter kid. So that kid, the actor, his name's Spencer. I don't know if you remember the scene in the premiere of season 3 with the Cassithan kid who Kinsey puts the, you know, metal stick through his face.
Yes.
There was 3 young kids.
Yeah.
There was like a Cassithan, a Rathian, and a human. That human kid is the same actor as this Rathian kid.
He looks a lot cooler now.
Yeah. I just love that about our show. Like, we can play multiple characters and no one really ever know.
Right.
All about sci-fi.
Yeah, I remember I was watching the premiere season 3 with Kevin Murphy, and I was like, hey, that guy also plays Zero. And he didn't even know. He was like, what?
Well, you know, Tommy came back for a brief appearance in this episode. Was he actually on set? Did you see him again? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was there on set. Yeah, it was great. It was a shame that it was like so short-lived, but...
He came back to die.
It was again. Yeah, he came back to die again. It was... It was super awesome having him back, as you know, for that short time, even though it was short. It was short and sweet, though. I love Duchesne. We all love Duchesne so much. Yeah, he's doing good. He's doing well. He's killing it. He's on The Strain now. He's on Killjoys. You know, he's doing well.
So are you?
Yeah, on the show. Yes, I'm.
You're still alive.
Still alive. That's all that matters. It's funny. It's like I remember when we were shooting we had shot the pilot of season 1, and then we had taken a month off before continuing the season. And I just remember Justin, Duchesne, and myself all kind of standing around together being like, okay, we're all getting killed any second. Or like we'll be recast or something. We're all so paranoid. And I'm like the last one standing. It's really messed up. I thought I was going to die earlier this season.
Honestly, so did we.
Yeah, especially because I got a call from Kevin Murphy. And anyone of our cast knows that if you get like a call from Kevin Murphy, it probably means because you're going to die. And like that's how it goes. Like you get a call from him and it's like a couple months before the scripts come out. And he's like, listen, just want to give you a heads up. You're going to die. So I got a call from like one of his assistants being like, hey, can you call Kevin Murphy back? He tried calling you or something. And I was like, oh no.
The Grim Reaper.
I was just sweating. And so I called him and I was like, hey, Kevin, you wanted me to call you? And he's like, yeah, I can't talk right now. Can you call back tomorrow? And I was like, sure. Hey, listen, I'm not going to die, am I? And he was like, oh, no, not yet.
not yet.
I just need like to know whatever, you know, whatever he needed. But I was sweating. I'm just sweating right now even thinking about it. But
you know, earlier, I guess a couple episodes ago, we talked to Nicole Munoz. And she said, she was talking about how she got the same call.
Yeah.
How she was months ahead. She knew months ahead she was going to die.
Yeah.
So yeah. You're not a red shirt yet.
Oh, come on. Hey.
Actually, yes. He was one of the first characters. He was, Alec was one of the first characters we met in the entire series
who was introduced by name, and we got to roll around with him to the party and everything like that. That was one of the first characters in Defiance we ever met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's still kicking it.
He's still doing it, so it's great.
You know who had a red shirt? Jean-Luc Picard.
Well, he's got you there.
He is a red
shirt.
That is
serious geek cred. Well done, sir.
He's even died a couple times.
And look what happened to him, yeah.
He's died a couple times?
Well, you know, he destroyed half his own fleet.
Really?
As Locutus, yeah.
Oh, as the Borg?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You had to bring him back?
Yeah, and then he went insane, didn't he?
Or he went a little... Well, yeah.
Then he had a whole separate life unto his own.
Oh, yeah, that was a sick... With the flute and everything. I love that episode.
It was a great series.
Inner Light, I think, is the name of that episode. It's one of my favorites.
I actually... officially watched every episode of Next Gen this summer. I had finally completed it all. And oh my God, the finale
all
is probably like the best finale I've ever seen on television. Like,
yeah, there's so many shows out there that just suck with their endings right now.
Oh, that was epic too. The TNG's ending was just incredible.
Oh, it was so beautiful. Like those three timelines and they all kind of intersect with each other. My favorite part is like, you know, when he's like an old man and he's on Earth, and he doesn't have like a replicator to make his Earl Grey and croissant anymore. And that maid, that human maid, comes up to him, and she's like, "How would you like your tea?" And he's like, "Hot." And she's like, "Of course it's hot. What do you want in it?" And he's just like, "Nothing."
Have you ever met Patrick Stewart?
You know, I have. Okay, so it's a Defiance-related thing. Actually, we were in Oh my God!
Were you in a yellow bathrobe?
No. This time I was dressed like a human
in a red shirt.
We were in Atlanta doing like some con. I was with Grant and Tony, and we were walking backstage for whatever reason. And we were on our way to go somewhere, and we kind of made like a pit stop at the bathrooms. And Tony was in the bathroom, and Grant and I were waiting outside. And then all of a sudden, Patrick Stewart turns the corner to go into the bathroom. And I guess Grant, you know, I don't know if he knew him, but for whatever reason, Grant starts talking to Patrick Stewart. And I see this going down and I'm like, yep, I gotta, you know, get in there. And so I was like, hi, I'm on the show with Grant. I know Grant. Hi, I'm Jesse. And he was so freaking cute. He just went, oh, hi, I'm Patrick. And I was just like, I know your name, you. and it was so great. And then he went in, he was so sweet. And then he went into the bathroom, and then Tony came out and was just like, hey guys, you ready to go? And I was like, you realize who just was peeing next to you in the bathroom? He's like, who? And I'm like, Jean-Luc Picard. And he was like, oh yeah, yeah. And what, was Santa Claus taking a dump? Like, you know, like he didn't believe it at all. And I was like, I swear to you, he was doing number one.
Okay, that was.
I didn't see that coming. If that was a setup for that joke, I did not see that coming at all.
It was a setup for that joke, but it doesn't mean it wasn't true, because that did happen.
Let me just tell you that it's cool to hear you, fanboy, that's the term I'll use, because I met you at the Dallas Comic Con back in February of 2014, and I was fangirling myself.
Oh, awesome.
I got to meet all the Defiance cast. Of course, you and Tony are awesome, but I couldn't speak when I walked up to Jamie.
Oh, yeah. Shannon's got this great picture of her and Jamie, and she's sitting there grinning like an idiot. And I'm like, oh, so what did you say? What did you do? And Shannon's like, honestly, I kind of blacked out. I don't even remember doing it.
I saw a lot of spots. Yeah.
Apparently Jamie was too luminescent for Shannon to even get a hold of her brain. She was just like, you know.
So I need a second go around. So I'm hoping that you're going to be doing some cons more this year.
And didn't you meet, when you went to see the warehouse cast, that same thing, didn't you meet Allison?
I did meet Allison.
You met Allison and your hands were shaking so much. She grabbed her hand. She goes, it's okay. It's okay. It's just Allison. It's okay.
She told me I got her first autograph that she signed in the States.
See, isn't that cool?
Hey, how about that?
Yeah, she was standing in line for hours that year. So, I mean, it's it was pretty cool. But since you guys aren't going to...
That's already done.
Go to Comic-Con or anything else like that, what have you guys got going on?
I think Tony and I think Tony's coming too. But I'm going to Baltimore Comic-Con. It's called Shore Leave. And then I'm going back to Dragon Con.
Nice.
Tony is coming to Dragon Con. I think Steph will be there too. Maybe Grant. I don't know. A bunch of us are going to Dragon Con though, for sure.
That'll be a fun panel. I mean, you're going to have a panel together? Or you just showing up?
I would imagine, yeah, there'll probably be a couple panels. I mean, last Dragon Con, like Grant and I did like a couple panels together, just the two of us. And like before that panel, we had never had a scene together. So it was like, we were like, well, what are we even going to talk about? Like, what's your name again? Grant? Jesse? We had a blast doing those panels. Like, we just kind of talk about nothing and everything, and it's always a great time. And someone, it always gets like inappropriate at some point.
That's the best kind.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm going to the New York Comic Con, so I'm really, really, really hoping there's someone from Defiance there. So we need some Defiance panels.
When is that
panels.
Exactly?
It's in October in New York.
I think okay, it's, yeah, yeah.
The 8th through the 11th, I think, is when it is.
That'd be cool. I've been there before, but only as like a fan. That's what's cool about all these conventions is that I was going to San Diego as a fan before Defiance, so it was very surreal.
What did you do when you went there? Did you go to panels? Did you go on the floor? Did you just walk around the town?
Well, I would go with my sister for like.
Yeah, she was in Being Human too, wasn't she?
Exactly. So I would just kind of tag along with her and get to do all the cool things that she was doing. But I'd watch her panel. But I would never like really wait in line to go see panels because the lines was just like I'd rather just kind of walk and roam the exhibit hall. And so that's what I would do. I would go online and search what the exclusive toys or comics were for the year, and I would try to hunt them down. And friends of mine would have lists of things for me to get for them. And
so if you wanted to do that now and had to wear a costume to kind of cover up who you were, what costume?
I'll ever need that because I already wear a costume. If I like walk around as like a human, people won't recognize me as Alec. Like I walk around as a human on set and people don't really know who I am. It's so funny. Actually, I wanted to say because in season one, when I first started putting on the makeup and shooting the show, there was a novelty about the makeup, and I got a kick out of seeing a reflection of myself in the mirror and being walking around as an alien and talking to people and being like, whoa, look at me, I'm an alien, you know? And that wore off quickly. Now, by the end of season three, I get the exact same feeling, but for walking around as a human. So like I'll go to set without the makeup. And I'll like walk around people and be like, hey guys, wow, look at this. I'm a human. And
people like, freak who the hell out. Is that?
Yeah, exactly. People lose it.
So if you showed up at a con, you know, all dressed up as Alec, you'd be like, yeah, people, and quit talking about my balls. Yes, they're painted white. Yes.
Oh my God. The balls are not painted white.
Yeah.
Shatter your dreams right now.
Just wait till that next bath scene.
I was going to say, we don't know.
The balls are the one thing that's not painted. And here
you
I'll
mean they're you, white already?
He's got a wicked case of pink ball.
I'll tell you what, using the washroom while I'm in Alec out like uniform is a very strange out of body experience, as you can imagine. Because that part of my body is not painted, but my hands are painted. So every time I use the bathroom, I'm always just like, well, whose hands are these? It's like very weird.
It's like you got the stranger going on, huh?
The stranger?
Never mind.
Is that like
are you going to explain the stranger to Jesse Ratzer?
No.
We already asked about if his balls were painted. I mean, how personal do you want to get, man?
The stranger, is that like a... Like it feels like someone else type of thing.
Yeah, something.
Exactly.
Oh, it's like when you put nail polish on your hands and pretend it's a girl.
Okay.
Sure. I don't think I've ever done that. Is that a regular activity in Canada? Or?
Oh, it's good.
Don't you know?
Speaking of balls.
They don't talk about my balls online enough as it is. I got to like add fuel to the fire, I guess, don't I?
No. I got a simple question. Do you play the Defiance game?
I don't. I have. But I don't really play online and that kind of stuff. But I have played my fair share of it, and I love it. It's great. I just don't have the time really to.
You're just hanging out with Linda Hamilton, and you know.
Linda and I have like plans tonight, so
You gotta go see Terminator together, right?
Exactly. I'm gonna like blow my cover, but you know, Linda, she kisses me on the mouth.
All right.
Like that's what she does to guys. She kisses you hello and goodbye on the mouth.
I've had fantasies like that since I was about 12. So yeah, that works for me. I'm fine.
So you get all sorts of favors on the show. You get kissed by your mom on the mouth.
Yeah, it's true, actually. I didn't ever put that together.
You
but,
have been favored, sir.
I remember she nice kissed boy. Me on, like, when she met me, she kissed me on the mouth, and I was like, and I remember, like, turning the corner and seeing our Mark Winemaker, our line producer, and he was just like, I heard you got to first base with Linda Hamilton. And then season three, when we were shooting those first couple episodes, I was with Justin and Linda and we were saying goodbye and she kissed Justin on the mouth and I felt very jealous.
It's not just me. She likes all the nice boys on the set.
Yeah, I was like, Justin.
Justin.
All right. Well, thank you very much for spending some time with us today.
I feel like we didn't really talk about anything about the show. It's like... Like we just talked
yeah,
about
we
Mike.
Did. We talked about okay. So you know you're in the militia, right?
Like we're like okay, we got to make the quota of defiance. Yes, I'm in the militia. There's an impending threat. How cool is BB, by the way, guys?
CC BB.
We love BB. We hope to have him on the show soon because he has just been super. We've been making fun of him the entire season, and he has been super awesome about it. So we are big fans.
Yeah, those first. Couple of like those months of shooting up there with Lee and with Billy were just amazing. It was just the three of us like in the blistering cold and Lee is insane. Like you know how Ramtak's insane, like Lee is just as crazy but like with less, you know, decapitation
or killing of his
or yeah family wife members. Stabbing or any of that stuff, you know.
He's got like a quality about him that's similar to like Graham Greene. Were they both kind of like, you never know when they're kidding or they're not, you know? So, like, he'll say something serious and then, like, you'll laugh and then he'll be like, no, I'm serious. Or he'll be, like, really angry or yell at you and then I'll laugh and then he'll, like, you know, I don't know. I just kind of laugh always as a default because I'm never sure, like, when he'll say
this. Just like your character did when you were in captivity. Just like, yeah, he's so going to kill you.
You know, He actually hit me in the face with that chain on one of the takes, accidentally, obviously. And it, you know, it's a rubber chain. It's like a heavy, you know, I said online, I tweeted like, oh, you know, on one of the takes, Lee actually hit me with with the chain in one of the takes. And someone wrote back like, oh yeah, did it hurt when he hit you with that rubber chain? But
like, yeah, it did. It was cold and it hurt.
He did. It, you know, he's doing it full force and it's like a heavy, thick chain. He felt really bad when we shot the scenes where I kind of escape and I slice his hand and then I kick him. I actually kicked him for one of the takes. And I remember because, you know, we were rehearsing the scene. We do it all in kind of in slow motion. And so the first take we do it and I kick him to the ground and I get in the car and I drive off and then they all cut and I drive back up the hill and I get out of the car and I see Lee and he's like picking himself up out of the mud. And like the director's like, you kicked him. You really kicked him. And I was like, yeah, I kicked him. I'm supposed to kick him. And he goes, yeah, but not really. He's not wearing any pads. And I'm like, look at his costume. It's armor. He was a little upset. But then I quickly reminded him of when he hit me in the face with a chain. And then we were leaving.
Payback.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was an accident, too, if it wasn't for the third or fourth take when he beat me with it.
Yeah. Oh, man. But it was funny because on the take where he hit me, it wasn't even on me. It was on the camera was on his close up. So it's like not even like you couldn't even see it. We couldn't even use that take where he actually hit me. But the camera guy, like one of our ACAM, Danielle, he ran up to me and was like, did he actually hit you in the face there? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, he's like, I saw it in his face, like in his expression. He had swung the chain and then like he kind of made a face like, oh, like it actually hit him there. So anyway, spoils of war, as I say.
Spoils of war minus 30 or whatever it was.
Yeah, brutal. And it's like, you know, all I'm doing is sitting on a chair, but I can't tell you how hard it is to just sit on like a metal chair in the middle of that like winter tundra. A chair was freezing. And like the handcuffs, I'm like, this is like such first world problems though. I'm like, yeah. The chair I was sitting on was so cold, but it was really cold, guys.
Really cold.
I'm from Minnesota. I get it. It's cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're in Texas. That cold stuff's just kind of foreign to us. We're like, really? So you got to wear a jacket or something? Or, you know.
I was in Texas once and it snowed and it shut the whole state down for six days.
No, it did.
It's
ridiculous.
It does it every time. Every year.
Every year. It snows once. We have enough snow to make a footprint and the entire city shuts down. Nobody goes anywhere. Everybody just huddles together.
So they it's have so nothing funny. To say about this. Trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah, well, we have no idea.
In Montreal, it snows like crazy, even more than Toronto, and gets even colder. And we never shut down. I don't remember us ever having a snow day. I remember I'd talk to friends in other cities, and they would talk about like having snow days. You know,
you're
and
like, what's that?
I'd be a snow day. What do you mean? What is? You mean yeah? So.
No school. That's what it means.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
Do you have anything coming up other than the cons that you're going to?
Yeah, I got a couple things in the works. It's still too early to really say anything. But yeah, I don't know. All I can say is, yeah, I'll be in Baltimore August 7th, and then I'm in Atlanta for Dragon Con, whenever that is in August. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Tune in for next episode. Next episode's another great episode. It's another Mary Z episode. Yeah, it's a good one. I can't wait.
Nicole was really pumping the rest of the second half of the season with us last week. So we're on pins and needles.
Oh, there's some cool Daytac, some great Daytac stuff in this next episode. Do you know the name of this next episode?
Yeah, it came out. It was, my name is Daytac Tar, and I have come to kill you.
Yeah.
Which
that's
I thought,
the title of the next episode?
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting because, you know, he's supposed
very
to be splitting.
Princess Bride type right there.
It is.
It's so funny because it's not what you think. Like, that, you'll, like, discover soon into the episode why the episode's called that. And it's, like, not what you think it is. You know what I mean? It's so funny. Like, I can't wait. It's a great Daytac episode. It's so great. Daytac has got so, like, Tony's got so much cast it to speak this season more than any other season.
He does
and,
so well.
Next episode, he's got a whole bunch of cast it to speak. And it's so funny. While we were shooting, at least once a month, I would get a phone call from Tony of him just having a complete like breakdown of him just being like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, I there's so much. I can't memorize it all. There's no way I could do it. I'm going to call David J. Peterson. I'm going to ask him to like, tone down all the Cassidy. I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. I'm going to tell them no. And I kind of have to like talk them off the ledge a bit. I got to be like, look, if anyone can do it, it's you. You can do it. I believe in you. And
so you're Van Gogh's doctor.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long does it take you to learn your lines in the Cassidy?
Well, I luckily don't have as much as Tony and Jamie to say. Last episode I did. I had the whole Luko, jiksa bon wedere taro de taxa, ushaksa idin jevengi subso tambu me vavado mangondo afamiapsa achondoshira koro hijivi wakano kanwa, which is like the longest sentence I've ever had.
And you remember it.
I can never forget it. It's there forever.
The only way I survived it was to permanently emblazon it in my brain.
Exactly. It takes about a week. You know, I just say it over and over again and I kind of like make it into a song or whatever you got to do to learn it. Yeah, it was a great line too. I love that line, that whole shaming rack scene. It was great.
Well, we're really enjoying Alak on this season. So it's great to see how he's transformed. And it's just such a pleasure to talk to you. And we really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure.
Yep. You have been awesome, sir.
Yes, thank you.
All right, guys. You take care.
You too, Jesse.
Bye.
Wow.
What a incredibly humble and cool dude. And as much as we give him crap about his balls and everything, I mean, rolled with everything. So that was well done. Props to Jesse.
He's going
to
go far in the Sci-Fi Channel, hopefully, or wherever he ends up.
God, I hope so.
Whatever
he's doing. Yeah, I hope he does.
I'd like to see him on Agent Carter. I think that would be good.
You still got to watch the rest of that.
Yes, you do.
I just finished it last night, actually.
Oh, you did? Did you like it?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
Like it is not a strong enough word.
Well, if you've liked that, you should definitely check out Ant-Man. If you haven't seen that yet, go see it. You will. I will spoil something. There is a little bit of Haley.
She's a cameo, right?
Yep. There is some Haley in there. All right. So get back to the episode. It was, I mean, we talked a lot about it, but it was a good episode. The whole Berlin leaving thing, I was like, really? Maybe she's doing it to like go get reinforcements and she'll be back, but I don't know.
That was not cool. I didn't expect her to leave like that.
Just turned on a dime. It's like, I don't want to be scared anymore. She left. Like, well, VCR.
Yeah. I was very disappointed actually in Berlin for that. She is the lawkeeper. The lawkeeper's job, your entire job is to shepherd the city or the town to marshal defenses to withstand this kind of danger. And here she is like, I met a guy, I gotta go. You know, this not cool. Yeah. So not cool.
And then Amanda called her a coward.
Yeah, she did. And I knew it was over with then. But then Nolan gave his Independence Day speech, right? Which I call any motivational speech in TV and movies nowadays. Independence Day is the movie, Bill Pullman. It's a great speech. Which means absolutely nothing, by the way, if you actually listen to it, but you come out of it feeling like, yeah, let's go get him. So,
yay! Yeah, he said nothing, yeah. Really.
Yeah, which is like, defiance! At the end. Okay. So, I call it his Independence Day speech. And then she's like, yeah, let's go. I want to get out of here.
Any second thoughts? Nope.
I'm hoping that this was a ploy and that she is like
going to get more fighters.
I trying to find out what his actual scheme really is, and will show up later on having subverted some kind of more terrible disaster that this dude planned. I'm hoping that's what it is, because that's the Berlin that I think we've known. But man,
yeah, I don't know if this was her out. That was such a bad out for her character.
Oh, it's terrible. Terrible.
I don't think we've seen the last of her.
I hope not.
I'm hoping that she's gone out and she's going to convince him to bring more guns and find more people.
I don't know. I'm hoping that isn't the
They don't
the
have way, much time.
I mean, because you've got Little Wolf out there crying, shooting Tommy in her head.
That was such a hard scene to watch. The emotions that Stephanie had to do for that scene. And knowing that Deshane came back just to be shot and killed. So, I mean, that was probably a very emotional time for them on the set, but it was hard to watch.
Yeah, I didn't care about the set. I was more worried about the storyline, and that one was difficult to watch. It was, for that.
I will argue that Stephanie Leonidas has probably done the best acting in the entire series. The swings her character has had to go through.
No argument.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
She's done great this season.
Although Stom is doing pretty good in her little flash dance off the shoulder 80s wear in Kinsey's
lair.
Here, let me give you a bath. I want to clean the meat before I start eating it.
Did you hear her purr?
I did.
I heard purr.
It was like a growl purr. It wasn't really a purr.
It was like a big kitty. I'm like, I knew she could purr.
Oh, that was great. I think this was the best Kinsey episode to date, too.
Oh, it was so great.
But you know how, like, in the previous episode, I'm like, it's weird seeing Doc Yule be scared. It's weird seeing Stama be so shaken
Abject
up.
Terror.
So shaken up by, you know.
She's just like, I'll leave. I'll be no trouble. I'm out of here.
I'd rather go taste the horde that wants to kill me and is currently shame-racking my husband. That is preferable to sitting here with you.
Did you get the Matrix feel, by the way, with the whole pill and going up to the ship?
A little bit.
Yeah, just
a little bit. There. Shannon's like, she's in space now. I'm like, no, Shannon, think about that. Logically, that
won't
work.
She's not in space. She's just...
It's some kind of VR or some kind of, you know, digital presence type thing where consciousness is transferred, she's dreaming, whatever.
I don't know. She could literally be up there because it could have been some sort of transportation because they have no way to get back up to the ship, right? They could.
I don't think she's there.
It's alien technology, man.
Well, yeah.
If they could do it, then how come they're not going back into space? I mean, if
you could transport by swallowing pills, I think that they would have probably done that. Maybe
they do every day.
Well, he says he doesn't. That why would he be telling her? Oh, look, our ship almost has enough fuel to make it back up there, and you know all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I think it's a kind of a VR type thing. Although the way she shoved it down her throat was hot. She's like, you can't make me eat it, and I'm like, oh yes, you can. Do it, Kinsey. And then she's.
Did you see the look she did on her face?
Oh, they both did great.
Wait till Tevkin comes home. What did you do with my toy?
Where's my vibrator? Kinsey, where's my vibrator? I'm not kidding. Where is it, Kinsey?
I gave it to Stama.
Where is it, Stama? I swallowed it. What?
Go get it.
Talking about space, we kind of glossed over Conrad with his goldenrod Star Wars reference. That was pretty cool. With the voice-activated weapons.
That was cool.
I like that.
That was cool. You know, there was a lot of just quick one-off type lines that they were doing. I will say this also, whoever designed that like full body holster for Berlin with the straps running above and below her boobs and like around her waist and down her hips and all that kind of stuff is doing good things for her figure.
I shot
good things for you.
Shot the suitcase, then I shot the lawyer in the foot. It felt good.
That was so great. That's the Berlin we know.
Exactly. That's the one I want.
That's the one we think is awesome. That's the I'm not sure who this chick
There's
is.
There's
got to
be some
town.
Kind of play going on here because I don't think she's leaving. I don't think she's leaving the show, obviously. And
I don't know. I
she'll
hope
be
that
back.
I hope this is a play. I really do because this is it's not right.
I don't think they would exit a character like this without having something bigger other than her just going back with her ex-boyfriend.
Well, why would you waste?
Because I love him. No,
we've had such. I mean, they began this season by slaughtering the whole McCulley family. Why would they waste an opportunity? If she was actually leaving, why would they waste it in such a insignificant way?
Yeah, she's not leaving. She has a plot. She has a plan.
I hope so. But she didn't share it with anybody. She didn't share it with Amanda. She didn't share it with Nolan. So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
It was cool. It was, man, watching Nolan be so brisk with her. He's like, yeah, I got it. Go.
Defiance, thanks you for your service.
Yeah, that was... Well, and she deserved it, too, because, I mean, if you're the lawkeeper and you're deserting the town in this crisis, honestly, I think that's like, you know, when you desert the military or you, I mean, this is what a lawkeeper is for, is to protect this. And I don't know. Sunkest says, do you think she kind of owes it to the town after Daytac pretty much saves her from the firing squad?
Yes.
Yes, I do. I think she owes a lot to the town and the people of Defiance and Daytac for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, the one thing I got out of Nolan's speech was the strong defend the weak. She's definitely the strong. She saw the speech, she internalized it, and that's the only reason I could think of where she turned around. She's like, this isn't going to work. We need to find more, so I'm going to go with him right now. But other than that, I'm like, just kind of bugged me the way she left.
No, that's not cool.
Because I'm a big Anna Hopkins fan, and as you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're huge Anna Banana fans. She's awesome. Berlin making some questionable life decisions right now.
Just a bit. Jessica ain't doing so hot. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to point out about on the episode? We're running a little long today.
First of all, it was great. I enjoyed seeing all of the guns. I enjoyed seeing Zero, really.
Yeah.
He is a super cool character. I hope they do more than redshirt him. Also, CCBB got his face implant. You know, this is going to hurt like hell. I know it. Do it. Just stoic like a Klingon and just put the face on. He looks pretty badass. I'm super happy he's got a bigger part in the show. He's just been super cool with us this season, kind of playing around online. As much crap as we've given Jesse Rath about his balls over the last couple of years, we give CCBB enough about being a red shirt, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, Billy came into his own in this episode. It's the most competent that I've ever seen CCBB or Billy BB Gunn or whatever his name really is. It's the most competent that we've seen him.
Well, it's cool to see that he actually has a plan, that he's just not going to stand by beside you.
No, it was good. Yeah, I thought he was doing cool things, man.
And they're going under the net, which is brilliant because...
Well, it's one of the three ways, right? Through the pass, under the net, over the mountains. I think there's going to be all three of those that take place.
Nice.
So this by coming through underneath the stasis net, they're coming up through the mines then, right?
Yep. That would be my guess, Well, they did. They tunneled right into town, right? Because they shot that Liberata, right?
Yeah, so they're right into somebody's basement.
Okay, but as I'm saying, because if they were coming up to the mines, then that's where the OMEC are.
Well, no. The mines are huge.
Okay.
The mines are huge. You don't have to come. I mean, they put tunnels out in a star pattern all the way around the sound. So they could hit the mines, use
different
them, use a different shaft. they could go up the other shaft and go and you know, tunnel through where it best suited them. So there's all kinds of ways to go in through that.
Yep.
There's all kinds of holes to plow.
Log.
Only
log.
Log. Only here on Voices of Defiance. Yeah. I really enjoyed this episode. Nicole wasn't lying. This episode, I think, is the best.
She did amazing.
Of the series.
I wonder if she wants to come back because we have some questions.
Yeah. And I can't wait. Jesse's really pumping next week. Really can't wait for the future as well.
I love how his character has progressed.
Yeah. I mean, he's done an amazing job with being the only normal person in town, really, even though he's an alien.
I think there's several normal people. I just think we don't actually see them.
Yeah, they just die quickly.
Yeah, or they've left, yeah. Like, remember the business owner at the beginning where Conrad's like, hey, I want those sunglasses. How about those? And you could tell he did it kind of on purpose. He's like, hey, here's my car.
How's your booty doing?
Well, you know, Arissa has, you can see that she has morals too. She just doesn't have.
She doesn't have her wits about her.
Right.
She isn't right in the head. She's riding the short bus.
All those.
Yeah.
She's having some issues.
She is. But as we said, very well acted, really. And I can't blame her after what she did. Like, it's like Locutus, you know, she's
actually
dealing with
very
it.
Much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Good call.
Good comparison. Yeah. Because it's very much like that.
Number one.
Absolutely. Hey, so we got a voicemail. You guys ready to hear it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, Starfire, Shannon, and Toad Ferguson. Cookie here. Awesome interview with Nicole. Man, she has a sexy voice, but I'm with Starfire, and a banana is still my pig, even though I'm kind of mad at Berlin right now. Arissa needs all the hugs in the whole world. She broke my heart with that Tommy scene. I need tissues and sand sauce for snuggles. Also, is it me or did Daytac not look very stretchy? I mean, Tony sold it with the pain, but it looked really weird to me. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Bye!
Oh, that was Defy Down Under, and man, talking about sexy voice, that's a sexy voice.
Cookie!
That's your homie!
That's my homie.
Yeah, so thank you very much for the voicemail. Really appreciate it. And if you are international, like Cookie, you can go ahead and email your MP3 file at StargatePioneer@gunnageek.com and we will play it here on the podcast. You guys have anything you want to say back to Cookie?
Jen has lots of stuff she says to Cookie every night. Almost every night. Don't you? I mean, those two are on the Defiance game for hours at a time.
Well, you know, it works well because I'm insomniac and
aren't you guys Cookie and Punch? Isn't that...
Potty.
Yeah, Potty and Punch.
Well, you know, actually, my game character's name is named after Berlin.
Yep. Barbie Punch.
Barbie Punch. Yep. So
awesome. Okay.
Thanks, Cookie.
We really appreciate that. And on Twitter, we appreciate all the love, including Log.
Log.
We got some good Twitter feed this week.
Yeah, we did. You got anything you want to point out, Shannon?
Well, we got it was awesome that Arissa Wi-Fi. Maya, she talked about having Conrad wanting to come on.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool that she asked him. And then Friday, she put out the question, who's next? Who's next? And she tagged a lot of people on it. So we'll see if anybody wants to respond. We'd love to have anybody on and talk.
Yes. And the Voices of Defiance Twitter feed replied back with, Voices of Defiance is like a box of chocolate. And I don't think there was enough space there, but you never know what you're going to get. And that is definitely sure. I mean, you got Sean on the podcast, for Christ's sake. I mean, come on. For crying out loud.
Yeah, I'm the joker in the deck.
And then you had Carolyn who said, log. That's all directed towards you, Sean.
And log to you, ma'am.
We had some interplay, as we talked about before, with Billy. So, CCBB himself. He's going with the CCBB, even after that BB gun thing. It's,
you know,
CCBB.
That's sort of like what your parents named you versus what you go by. And I always, like, when somebody says, yeah, my name is, you know, whatever, but call me this, I always call him that because that's what the person wants to be named. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if he says his name is CCBB, his name is freaking CCBB. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's what it is.
There you go.
Everyone else can suck it.
He gave us a great picture right before the episode.
Yeah, it was
right
super
before
cool.
Right before the episode Friday, he gave us his picture with that.
Yeah, that was a cool picture. I was actually looking for it in the episode, and I never really saw that, so it must have been like a set picture or something like that.
No, it's from when he tunneled. He tunneled through.
Yeah, it was the close-up of his face as he was coming through.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where Sweet. You actually got to see him as the human, but knew he was Indigene underneath.
Right,
yeah,
right, right.
That was super cool.
You know, when they were doing the little firing training thing, and Nolan went by a guy and he said, professional soldier, I was like, is that Billy? I don't think, because his face is so new, you don't know, right? It's like
you don't get to see it very often.
Yeah, so looking forward to a great CCBB episode next week, because you know he's probably going to be the one that comes up and saves Daytac from the Shammy Rack before he gets his limb split from him.
Oh yeah, because you know Daytac's not done.
I hope. Yeah.
I seriously hope not.
Great episode. After the verdict, you know, he's like, oh, did my wife do that to your face?
That was freaking awesome.
That was awesome.
Like, I'm not worried about this at all. I know I'm screwed.
As Amanda's limping through the office.
Hey, whatever. Yeah, she's got her knee brace on. You know, hey, Amanda, how's the knee? You know? So yeah,
did my wife kick your butt?
Yeah, they did. It was a terribly interesting episode and one of the better ones of season three. I will totally agree with that. Although any episode with a bunch of Kinsey in it always gets my vote. Period. I mean, that's just how it is.
That's how it is.
So it's our episodes because it's Kinsey and Stama.
Okay, yeah. So Kinsey versus Treasure Doll, Sean.
Hello. There's not a competition there.
I don't know, Sean.
Because Treasure Doll was all.
Yeah, Treasure Doll was all what, Sean? Well, apparently I lost the other side of the connection here. So, no, wait a minute. The call is coming back. So, for those listening on Mixler.
I hope so.
Hope so. All right. So, that's it for this week of Voices of Defiance. You can catch us back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central. We will be talking about the next episode. You heard us talk about the name before with Jesse, my name is Daytac Tar, and I have come to kill you. So, can't wait to figure out what that is. So, you guys have any last words for the crowd?
No, I think we covered a lot.
All I can say is this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
you asked the wrong question.
Yes, I did.
Remember, when you watch Defiance, remember, when you look at Alec, his sack is pink.
That's not, I don't think it's how he'd want to be remembered for talking to us.
You're going to nickname Jesse Pink Sack now?
I think we've been mean enough to poor Alec, man. Alec is...
He said he's not a white sack, so...
He said he's not a white sack.
Yeah.
How does it... He gets away with... Well,
because he came on the podcast.
He just doesn't show everything like Jamie does.
Because he came on the podcast and he told us. Yeah, Kinsey was saying that she had to take off all her stuff and go to her OMAC happy place, right? That's what she told us.
Because they want to see the girls instead of the guys.
I do too.
Yes,
I bet you the only time you see Daytac get painted is when he was stepping into the tub because he was full.
I don't know. I think there's probably a bunch of women lining up to paint Tony.
I'm sure.
I'm just saying. That dude's smooth.
All over the world.
Yeah.
Little bitty brushes.
That dude's pretty smooth.
So if you want to talk about how much you want to paint Tony, you can go to our website, gunnageek.com, go to the forums, and write in how you want to do in this episode with Tony, or Jamie, or Berlin, or anybody.
Hashtag sack painter.
There you go. Go ahead, give us a voicemail. We really appreciate the voicemail this week. Libby, 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751. Well, that's it for this week of Voices of Defiance. We're looking forward to the episode on Friday. And with that, I'm going to sign out. This is Stargate Pioneer and handing it over to Sean for his birthday wishes.
I already got it. It's Kinsey. Licky.
That's good.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesODefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. Swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com. Or send us a voicemail at area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Trion video game Defiance. Music titled After the Apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time and watch out for those hellbugs.
What's up?
Hey, I'm just trying to get things back to something that I can use. That's what I get for leaving for a week.
Yep, normally.
All right. we will not have a separate track for Jesse. I have no idea what was not working, but my second Skype was not working. And then the primary didn't work either, so. How's your birthday?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Not too bad, you know? Didn't feel too old.
Yeah, that'll change. Did you do anything fun?
For the actual birthday, you know, it was just normal stuff because I was on daddy duty. But yesterday, we dropped the kids off and went and had a good meal and then kicked around for a little while and, you know, sans children. It was pretty tight.
Sans children. Are you still without children?
Oh, good God, no.
We're never that lucky.
We are experiencing some severe radio difficulties. I think it has something to do with the arch blowing up.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I'm not at the helm anymore, and so they just find another, you know, dyed-haired.
It literally falls apart without you.
Yeah, quite literally.
Unfortunately, our YouTube crapped out because my computer was going through an update for some reason. Once the Windows update says it's going to happen, then all the audio drivers crap out. For some reason, I don't know why, but they do. And that happened on both my laptops today. That's why we couldn't multi-track Jesse. So
that's all good.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it worked, but I'm literally now patched everything together, and I really got.
Well, you got part of the answer to that in the box today. So
yep.
You know,
I'll be hooking that up tomorrow.
Man, we went to our guitar center here recently or yesterday.
Oh, geez.
When we were messing around, and holy crap, do they have a lot of podcasting gear. I mean, just tons and tons.
Yeah. I wish you would have taken a picture because I would love to see that because it's not available up here. And so you would think that they would have more of a podcast selection at Guitar Center, but they do not.
They had a whole rack, a whole case full. Shannon was over there drilling, going, baby, come here, look at these. You know, they had a whole rack full of podcasting mics. Not like... band mics or anything like that.
What was that mic that I liked? It was like a 40s style.
Yeah, radio. It was the 40s style SM7B.
Oh, it was awesome. Oh,
that's not a 7B. That's a Sennheiser. It's like a $200 version.
No. It wasn't a Sennheiser. It was a Shure.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was nice.
You know, just because I like the 40 stuff.
It was a promo. They don't have that many. They're only going to make about 300 of them, and it was...
$400, but...
Yeah, it was nice.
It was cool.
Was it all chromed out or?
No, it was like brushed chrome.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Red.
It had red felt in it or fuzz, foam, whatever inside it. So
nice.
It looked pretty tight. But no,
you'd have it in a 40s regular.
But they had, he said it was like a signature edition that they were doing and they didn't have, like, every store got like two of them, you know. They had a whole room full of mixers, a whole room, a whole case full of podcasting mics. Audio Technica was well represented. They had a lot of the M Audio suite's really getting pretty big too. They got a lot of M Audio stuff out now.
So, did it change your opinion on the mixer that you want to get at all?
No, I played with a bunch of them, and I'm headed towards that Mackie range. The Behringer is nice, but I don't know. I've had this one for a while, and I want to see if I can get any cleaner sound out of anything else. I probably am going to go Mackie when I go. But I might upgrade my M Audio's got some really sweet monitors out now.
Yeah.
They make the AV40s look pretty anemic for not a lot of money. I mean, I think the set I was looking at was about $250.
Hmm.
They were pretty nice, but yeah, they've got a whole podcasting. Apparently podcasting is like super big in Dallas. So they're like, yeah, we see a lot of casters. We see a lot of other people doing what you're doing, you know?
But it's like the gear makers that really have to flip over to that. It's not necessarily Guitar Center in Dallas.
No, but there's a lot of gear. I mean, there's really a lot of gear out for, and now some of it was just way too high end and way too crap. Like they're trying to assemble a lot of stuff in there that I don't think should be in there, you know, because it wouldn't be solid stuff. But I don't know. Podcasting is such a kind of limited market anyway. I mean, it's not a band. It's not live audio most of the time. It's just kind of very particular in what you got to use it for. So I don't know. It's interesting to see, but it's fun to go play with it all, you know, like have it all assembled in one room and just be able to mix and match. So you could literally, hit the button, and activate a mixer and then hook it to a pair of mains, or, you know, a monitor system and, you know, kind of listen to and play with the audio and mess with the channels and stuff like that. It's kind of cool.
Sweet. I would have fun there.
You wouldn't leave for a while.
No, I did.
Get out your spreadsheet and start.
Be like a full day. Oh, gee, I wonder what's here.
That's SP. He's not leaving.
Yeah.
Does he work here? Nope. He just likes to hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to get ready for my Ant-Man podcast at 4:30 time.
Woohoo!
Yeah. It was actually fun. You probably haven't seen it.
I'm apprehensive about seeing Ant-Man. It was one of the ones I was just like, wow, I don't really have any aspirations to see
that.
Yeah,
right. I didn't, except for I have a Marvel podcast, so I kind of have to. So I saw it and I went in with very low expectations and I came out of it thinking, you know, this is, to me, as entertaining as Guardians of the Galaxy was last year, there's a ton of callbacks to previous Marvel stuff, but it's not like you have to have seen it before. They do it in such a way that it actually makes sense as a standalone as well, but you know where the callbacks are, and it was just really well done. And I think Edgar Wright probably made a lot of that stuff happen before he left, so a lot of props to him. And I don't know, Kevin Feige might be a little too big in his britches or something, I don't know. But it was a fun movie, really fun movie. And if you want a fun movie, this is definitely the fun summer movie to go see that I've seen so far.
Right on.